There's times in church when you just don't know what to do. Because I don't want to miss the moving of the Spirit of God. Honestly, I have no other agenda than just to walk in the Spirit. And I'm not so sure what He wants to do today. But I know I don't want to blow it. There's a verse that wrecked me today or this week. Paul was writing the first chapter of the book of Romans. And he said this, verse 14, he said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I read these words and my heart broke. I'm a debtor. And I thought, why is Paul so different than we are? Why did he feel this so deeply that he was in debt? Did you hear what he says? So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, right? It's not theology. It's not legalism. It's the good news. It said Jesus stepped out of heaven, became a servant, lived the life before us to teach us what the kingdom of God was going to be like. He died for your sin, and the best part was a few days later, He rose from the grave. Amen. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Because He lives, you live also. And Paul is saying, I'm in debt. You know, it's funny because a few chapters later in chapter 13, verse 8, he says, owe no man anything but a debt of love. Isn't that interesting? Paul, are you talking out of both sides of your mouth? No, he's talking out of his heart. I don't owe anybody anything but this debt of love. And this debt of love compels me to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Father God, I just ask, Lord, that you would use my words today to touch our hearts. I pray that there would be a shaking today in the body of Christ. Lord, that you would just shake us to a reality that maybe we have not been walking in for a while. God, I ask, Lord, that it would be of you and not of me. God, I pray, Lord, that my words would be few, but your words, Father, would speak freely through me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This week, the Allens called us, said their son-in-law was headed to the hospital, had blood clots on both lungs. And we began to pray, as well as many people did. And it wasn't very long before they called back and said they've sent him home. Amen. Sent him home. Amen. They also told a story about their nephew, and I think he's in California. We were praying for about a year ago. It was given just a few months to live with throat cancer. And they heard from him this week, and there's no cancer in his body anymore. He went from having a death sentence to having a life sentence because of God. Amen. You have not because you ask not. You know the song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, very special to Treve and I. It's a song that we sang at both her parents' funeral. But when her dad was dying, we started singing that song in ICU at the hospital. The whole family was just gathered around. We started singing, "Great is your faithfulness." I hope and pray that towards the end of your life, you're able to sing that song. God, you've been faithful. It doesn't mean that I've got my way on everything, right? We really don't change much from two-year-olds, do we? I mean, we're still spoiled no matter what. We're just spoiled. We want our way. My grandson, Silas, can't hardly speak at all, but he's got one word down that you can understand. Mine. Mine. I sometimes think that's the way we are with God. Mine. And I believe God is saying, would you release what's in your hand? Will you give me what you're calling mine and let me use it? You know, God asked Moses, he said, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, it's just a rod. I've been carrying it around for 40 years in the desert. He said, throw it down, Moses. Moses threw it down. It became a snake. He said, now pick it up. And he said, no, don't think so. He said, go ahead, Moses, pick it up. Moses picked it up. And I think God was showing him something. He says, Moses, if you'll give up what's in your hand, I'll use it for the kingdom. Guys, we have a sickness in the body of Christ. It's called selfishness. You know, there was a day when you come to church and you're probably going to hear a sermon on hell. And we preached hell so hot the Christians would start sweating, right? And we don't preach much about hell. But can I tell you, hell is real. And there are people that you work with, people that you live beside, friends and family that are going to hell. And we are letting them go without a witness. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they have believed in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, this is quoting from Isaiah. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I began to study this, I thought how we have lifted that last verse out and made it say something different. We've talked about faith, and we talked about our faith and how our faith is built by hearing the word of God. But that's really not what this is talking about. This is talking about us sharing the gospel with people who have never heard. And you think, well, how are they going to believe? And Paul is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're going to believe because you're going to tell them. And faith is increased because of the story that you're going to tell. Telling them the gospel, and all of a sudden, that person who doubts, that person who's been in a total different lifestyle, all of a sudden, a seed of faith is dropped in their heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And the more you tell them, instead of writing them off, have you ever written anyone off? Absolutely, I have. Well, he'll never get saved. You know, we write people off pretty quick. Well, he looks like this or he looks like that. But my gospel says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whoever. Does God know who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved? Yeah, he does. But you don't. So you know what our responsibility is? Tell everybody we know. I was telling our Sunday school class today, I never raised girls, but I raised three boys. And I learned something very quickly. Boys don't learn like this. In other words, boys come home from school and you set them around the dinner table and you say, how's your day? And they say, all right. What you learn? stuff. I mean, we didn't get nothing out of them. They just don't share face-to-face much. But when you get them on the basketball court, or when you start digging a hole with them or doing something with them side by side, boys will talk to you. You know, I think that's sometimes the way the world is. I think sometimes we're trying to preach to people rather than just be with them, rather than just love them. Let them see who you are and see that this faith is so deep in you that then they want it to. I remember in seventh grade, a boy came to me and we were best friends, and he said, "I don't know what you got that I don't have," he said, "but whatever it is, I want it." I said, "I can tell you what it is. I don't have religion. I have Jesus in my heart." I said, "I speak in tongues and you can too." Not much wisdom. God has called us to preach the gospel. You know, as I begin to study this passage in Isaiah, the first 40 chapters of Isaiah, he is prophesying gloom and doom. He is saying, hey, destruction is coming upon you. But in chapter 42, he shifts gears and he starts preaching that it's not permanent. It's not forever. There's coming a day when God's going to call all the Jews back to his homeland, and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And that's where he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who have preached the good news. I got to thinking, people in this world are a whole lot like the Jews. They're headed for destruction. They just don't see it. They're doing their own life. They're in darkness, folks. We know that if they continue living the way they're living, man, it's the end of their story is not going to be good. And if you get the chance to share the gospel with them, I've often thought probably the least pretty thing on our body is our feet. I have never seen anyone's feet that are what I would say, oh, those are pretty feet, man. I'm telling you, that's a good-looking foot right there. And he says, how beautiful are the feet. Don't you think that's ironic? That he's taking what I would call the least desirable part of your body. But if you share the gospel with someone who says yes, even your feet looks good to them. For the rest of your life, they're going to appreciate that you went out of your way to share what your story with them. I want us to take this on. I want us to begin to talk to people. Acts 26:18 is one of the verses to the church, I believe. He says, basically, our calling is to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Our job is to shine so brightly that people in the dark can see that they're in the dark. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you know anyone that needs a do-over? Do you? Have you been there? I need a do-over. Do you know what that's saying? He's saying, I'm going to give you a do-over. I don't care how badly you have messed your life up, I can give you a do-over. I can make a new creation out of you. He said, I'm going to do something so fantastic in you. I'm going to reconcile you with God Almighty. And then I'm going to go a step further, and I'm going to give you the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, what I have done for you, now I want you to take this, and this is where the church drops the ball. We thank God for our salvation. We thank you that you gave us a do-over, and then we stop. And that's not the stopping place. He says, now take this gospel that you know that has changed your life, take it and share it with someone else. Folks, I'm telling you, we are allowing people to go to hell without a witness. And it's just like it doesn't bother us anymore. And that bothers me. God, help us. Help us to be people. I mean, the law of God today is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of God. A new commandment I've given you. Love one another. I've said often before, we don't have a boldness problem, we have a love problem. The love of God ought to compel you to tell your story. I don't believe in beating people over the head with the gospel. But I do believe everybody ought to know. Everybody that I come in contact with ought to know that I believe in Jesus, that he's changed my life. I forgot Bob Bright it was. He believed that if he had 30 seconds alone with anybody, that was God's mandate for him to share the gospel. You know what we feel? You know what we do? Well, God, if you want me to share the gospel, tell me. Right? God, if you want me to share with this person, tell me. I want you to lean in for just a second. I'm the voice of the Holy Spirit. Tell them. You just heard from God. Tell them. Don't wait for God to tell you in the elevator to talk. Don't wait for God to tell you when you're sitting at your desk. Tell your neighbor about me. I'm telling you from the Holy Spirit, God says, tell them. Tell them right now. Every one of us believe that this world is coming to an end fairly quickly. Most of us believe that the rapture of the church could happen any day, and that ought to make you want to do something. But the truth of the matter is we are so selfish, the only thing we're doing is, God, make sure I'm on that trip. How many are we willing to leave behind? I don't want to leave anyone behind. You know, it's entirely possible that as I preach this gospel to you, that not everybody in this room will make the rapture of the church. To me, I ran from the call of the ministry for 30 years because I didn't want that responsibility on me. Well, like it or not, it's on us. It's not just on me, it's on you. People that you know and love are going to die and go to hell. And if that's their choice, you can't do anything about it. But if it's because you haven't told them, shame on us. We'll answer to God for that. Actually, that's all I've come to tell you today. All I come to say is, folks, we need to get serious about this. This is not a game. It's not religion. This is life and death. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Americans, we are taught that we can do our own thing. Do you remember the speech in the 60s, I believe, when John F. Kennedy, it was before my time, before I can remember, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Those days are long gone. Most all of us say we live in an entitlement environment. We say it about everybody else, but we don't realize That's you. As a believer, you feel entitled. We're not picking up this commandment to go and tell. I know this is not pleasant. You don't want like to hear this. I don't like to preach it. I thought, well, I'll make it short. It's sort of like getting hit over the head with a baseball bat. Well, at least it was short. It still stung, but it was short. So today I come to hit you over the head with a baseball bat. It's the baseball bat. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, where it says, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. Most people that I know that are serious with God spend a large part of their life praying, God, what do you want me to do? Again, I can answer that question. Not specifically, maybe you're to be an accountant, maybe you're to be something else, but I can tell you this, God's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Go and reconcile this world to Jesus Christ. Share your story with them. We have a great story to tell. You know, one of my favorite verses is in this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's the last verse of that chapter. I call it the great exchange, the great trade. He says, you give me your life of sin, and I'll give you my righteousness. I cannot see a downside to that. I just want to go there. Because there's one verse that we talked about Wednesday night. And I thought this was so clever that Denny picked up on this. He said the whole gospel is in this one verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, you probably need to commit this to memory. He says, that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not counting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's the gospel in a nutshell. You see what Jesus did for you? Now you're to share that with someone else. I believe with all my heart that I heard from God today, this week. I know this is not the kind of sermon that you shout about, but we better wake up. The trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. Mike Warnke, back in the 80s, he had a great way of evangelism. He said, I believe that when the trumpet sounds and the rapture of the church happens, he said, whoever you're around, just grab them by the neck. And he said, when you go up, you'll just take them with you. And he said, about halfway up, he said, you look at them boys and say, now guys, you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, or should I let go? Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. It's too late if we wait for that. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I was wrecked this week when I heard Paul say, I'm a debtor. Who do you feel in debt to? I believe the Holy Spirit is going to put some people in your heart right now that's going to say, you better tell them. You need to tell them. Tell them your gospel story. I worked for Serval for 5 years back in the 80s, and I worked from Hopkinsville to Wycliffe, all the way in that territory, and we all did, all out of the Murray office. And one day, about the whole staff wound up in Wycliffe, Kentucky. Now, if you know anything about Wycliffe, Kentucky, it's like, there ain't nothing there. We all wound up in one restaurant at lunchtime. That's because there was one restaurant in Wycliffe, Kentucky. And I remember I sat down at the table with all these guys, and I said, guys, I said, I don't believe this is a coincidence. I said, I need to tell you something. And I laid out the gospel story to them right there. I said, I believe God has had us come together for lunch so that I could tell you about Jesus. No one dropped to their knees. No one said, I'm a sinner. Pray for me, Eric. Not a single soul. But I can tell you one thing. Every one of them has got the gospel story told to them. See, we cannot make people accept Jesus. It's their choice. That's their responsibility. But how can they hear unless we preach to them? How can they hear unless we take the gospel? Faith increases when the word of God is spoken. Sometimes you may need to share the gospel with them. Other times you may just share the great things that God has done for you. How God has been faithful in your life. I don't believe in just, like I said, beating people over the head. You're probably sitting here and say, well, they quit beating us over the head. Let's go. I believe in beating you over the head. I don't believe in beating other people. I really believe the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. And I pray that you're listening. Every one of you are a preacher. You're all ministers. Minister. Ministry means service. Service. So whoever you work with, don't let them die or retire without knowing that you love Jesus. Your neighbors, they ought to know you love Jesus. They ought to know that if they ever have a prayer request, if there's ever any time, anything going on, they can come to you and pray. And you'll pray for them. That's all I'm saying. We've got a calling of God on our life to tell. You know the great suggestion? Go into all the world. You know? It's the great suggestion. It's the great commandment, right? The great commandment, go into all the world. Well, you know, I think all the world might mean across the street for you. It may be just the desk that you sat next to for the last 20 years. Just go over and say, you know, we've worked together for the last 10 years, and I've never shared with you that I'm a Christian and I love Jesus with all my heart. He's changed my life. Amen. How simple is that? If they tell you, get back to your desk, get back to your desk. But at least now they know. And then the Lord can use something that simple to work into their heart. And it may come, hey, you know, a couple weeks ago you said something about loving Jesus. What did you mean by that? You get what I'm saying? We just got to sow some seeds. We got to start farming. We're not going to reap a crop if we don't sow some seeds. Are you willing to sow some seeds? Are you willing to tell your testimony? I mean, did Holly get back in here?
She'll be in there.
Okay. All right. Stand with me, if you would.